Turn with me into your Bibles to two places in the Bible. First is Exodus chapter 20, where we will read briefly the fifth commandment, verse 12, and afterwards to Romans chapter 13. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, gives to us the fifth commandment, which says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And then turning over to Romans 13, where we will read verses 1 through 7. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience's sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor." As far as our reading of God's Word, and we turn our attention to the summary of the teaching of God's Word as it is found in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39. It's on page 52 of the back of your Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 39, question 104 asks, "What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment?" The answer is that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. As far as our reading of the Catechism. Now, I came across this quote in my readings recently, and you may have heard this quote before, and you may be anticipating this quote too, given the topic that's at hand here. And I know that there are several variations of this quote out there, but the one that I have before me is as follows. "The world is passing through troublous times. The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they knew everything, and what passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. As for the girls, they are forward, immodest, and unladylike in speech, behavior, and dress." End quote. Now, this sounds like something that my dad may say after watching the news last night, or it may even sound like something that I might say sometimes from time to time, and maybe it sounds like something that you've thought and that you've said as well. But this quote is not by some talking head that is on our televisions or some radio personality that's looking across at our 21st century youth. This is attributed to a man named Peter the Hermit. He was a priest during the First Crusade, which was in 1096. That is almost 1,000 years ago. And you can find other quotes out there by philosophers that are very similar, like Plato or Aristotle or Socrates, who were around about 300 years before Christ, who have a similar tenor or tone. And whether you find these quotes and whether these men actually said these things is a bit beside the point, because it goes to demonstrate the fact that contempt for authority is not anything new in our day. Think of what happened 800 years before Christ, when some kids went up to Elisha and they started mocking him, calling him baldhead. Think about two generations just before that. There was a son named Absalom. And a generation before that yet, Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons. Before that yet, Jacob's sons, 12 devious sons. Before that, Canaan shamed his father Noah. Before that yet, God's son Adam. This is a problem that has existed throughout all of history. We look out upon our day today and we see and get frustrated with some of the behavior of the youth, but it is not anything that is new, and it is not anything that is strictly in the youth. It is within every one of us. And so it is good for us to heed this commandment to honor authority. That is the title, the theme that we have for this evening. And so this commandment to honor authority, and we will consider first the grounds for the honor. Why is it that we should honor authority here? Second, the expression of honor. How is it that this honor is to be lived out? And third, the blessing from honor. What is the result, the benefits from honor? And so first, the grounds for honor, and a bit of explanation first, I believe, is necessary as to why I say that this commandment is something to honor authority. When we look at the commandment here and see that this literally says it is to honor your father and your mother, it seems much more narrow than that, than to say authority. Would that then be to add to the text and add to the word of God? Well, the answer, of course, is no. We are certainly to honor our fathers and our mothers exactly as our text says. But we also see, especially from our Romans text, that it is not only to fathers and to mothers that God has given authority that we are to honor. The governing authorities in verse 1 of Romans 13 speaks to the civil government, which verse 7 concludes that, therefore, render all to their due honor. To whom honor is due. So our text speaks to fathers and mothers because the home is the first place where we are conscious of being under some authority. That is the place where respect for authority is to be established, because children are to honor their parents and recognize that they have the authority, which is the ability to command and to determine and to tell you what to do. And that is the foundation then for the rest of all of the authority structures that exist within society. It flows out from the home into the rest of human society. And so it's important for us to heed this commandment, especially to instill this within our children. Because if it is not done in the home, then there goes the rest of society. And so we see that it's essentially an argument from the narrow to the broad. And really, the reason or the ground for why we should honor authority, honor our parents, and honor those others who are outside in the rest of society is quite simple. It's for the same reason why very often you get this answer from your parents, boys and girls, when they ask you, or when you ask them, why should I do this? Why should I do that? Sometimes you will get the answer, because I said so. That is really the most basic ground as to why we should honor this. Because God said so. This is a commandment, after all, about authority, right? Verse 1 of our text says that there is no authority except from God. He is the ultimate authority. He has the right by virtue of who He is to tell you what to do, to control, to command. And He can say that we are to honor authority because He's God and He says so. End of question. And He does tell us to do that, and He does express this authority. He gives us this law, these Ten Commandments, and His word is the final say on the matter. It's the only rule for our doctrine and life that pertains to more than just this, but to everything else, because He is that ultimate authority. And there is no other authority except that which is given by God. It's a delegated authority, a derived authority. But verse 1 goes on to say, and going off that point, that He has seen fit to appoint people into positions of authority. And so He places people there. And that is the other grounds, not only because He says so, but because they are appointed by God as ministers. Verse 4 says the governing authorities are God's ministers, which means essentially that they are servants to act on His behalf. That word for ministers is the same word that's used in connection with the office of deacon or of elder or of apostle. These are the ambassadors that are coming on behalf of God as His representative, specifically as the ones who are representing His authority. Because of that, it means that they have that duty to rule according to His will. But He's placed them there by His authority to represent His authority. Now, the context here of Romans 13 is speaking specifically to the civil magistrates, those who are kings and governors and others, but this also pertains to those of you who are parents. There is an authority given to you by virtue of God making you to be a parent. That is an appointment to a certain task and duty to govern your children. To do so according to the will of God. You have that authority. And you must exercise that authority well. But that also means then for you children that it is upon you and it is your duty to honor them. It is not for you to look around at other families and say, man, that guy is much cooler, he's stronger, he's taller, Doesn't matter. God has placed this one as your parent. And this is the one whom you are to honor, whom you are to listen to. And that fact is the same for all other places and all other legitimate and lawful offices of authority. These are the ones that are given to us. And so regardless of who they are, this is by God's divine appointment. And these are the ones whom we are to honor. And so we look at the police officers that are in our communities. They've been given a position of authority. The teachers that you have, the bosses, the elders of this church, the pastors, the governors of our state, president of our nation. Just as children should honor their parents because they've been placed under them, we honor authorities that have been placed over us because they are ultimately God's ministers, His servants. And we honor God by honoring them because they are His representatives. And that really gets to the rub as to why, the grounds. Because in many ways, as you may notice and you may tell, that this is a transitional commandment that's before us. The first four is called the first table of the law, and that deals with our vertical relationship with God. And now that we are in the fifth, we are moving into the horizontal. Our relationship with men. But just because we are moving to the way in which we interact with one another, with our fellow man, does not mean that our concerns are no longer with God. They are always. Every other commandment in here always is going to have God in view. Because this is a covenantal document. That's what this whole law is, these Ten Commandments. When we put it in the context of Exodus chapter 20, what God is doing is He's setting up a covenant with the nation of Israel. And He is giving them this law to this people as a covenantal document for them. And it is put upon them. And that this is the way in which you as covenant people are to behave. This is how you as those who have been set apart by grace are to interact. And so we worship Him alone. And we do so in a way that He has prescribed for us and to do it exclusively. And that is a demonstration of that covenantal distinction. And that is true also in the second table. The way in which we interact with one another is the way in which we show what it means to be His special possession. So there's a covenantal obligation upon us to heed this commandment. And so just because we're dealing with men here does not make it to be a small matter. We have God in view here. How we view our human authorities in our lives has a direct bearing upon how we view the ultimate authority, God Himself. And our honor for authority is not in spite of our honor for God, but because of it. He's our covenant God. And so we are to express this honor. And that brings us to our second point, the expression of honor. And there are two basic expressions of honor for authority. There's an internal expression, and there's an external expression. And we get this idea of it being an internal expression because honor is an internal word. It is a word of the heart. It's a word of attitude that we have. This word is very similar to the word glory, which is the idea of weightiness. If you then are to honor someone who is in a position of authority, their words, their advice, their suggestions, and their commands are going to have a weight upon them, on your conscience, as our Romans text says. And then that means we will have a view or an attitude of deep respect and loyalty and esteem, because they have been placed there by God. And they are in authority by Him. And this loyalty must continue in spite of the infirmities or the failings, as our catechism puts it. Because we need to recognize in many ways that indeed they are still men and sinful men. But the degree of that goes on pretty far. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Now, our attitude that we have toward authority is not strictly because of the person who is in that position of authority. It ultimately has to do with the office of authority that they hold. Whatever their persons are, that office is still honorable. And so you may be on the work site and you have a boss that's a position of authority. And your boss tells you to do something which is their right to do. But he keeps giving you the grunt work. He's giving you all of the bad jobs that are hard, and you can tell that he's doing it intentionally. He's out to get you or something like that, and he's really got it out for you, but you're still to honor him. He might want you to do something that may not seem to be the most efficient or the most thought-out method to get the job done. There are ways in which that you can bring that up to him and maintain an honorable posture. But that doesn't mean that since he's giving you hard work or because he's made a bad decision here and there that he's forfeited his position as boss. Whatever else comes, you must still honor. That pertains to all of the other positions of authority. You as parents don't give up your position as a parent just because you make a bad decision here and there. You are not perfect. And you children bear with that and understand it. The same is true for the elders and pastors and the deacons of this church. Not all things that are decided are going to be perfect, but we bear with it and give respect unto the office, to that position of authority. And ultimately, that honor will express itself externally. Something of the heart, that is sincerely of the heart, will ultimately flower out and manifest itself. And very often, it means submission. Submission is obedience. You do what they ask you to do. If their words and their instruction, if those in authority are to have weight to them, and it really did have weight on your soul and your attitude, then you would think twice about not following through with it. weight should move you. It should give you an inclination to submit and obey from the heart. And so for you children, your parents tell you to do something, do what they ask you. But if you argue and you constantly fight back, they keep you from doing what they ask you to do, you're not honoring them. Plain and simple, do that because God has made them to be your parents. And you are to obey God too, and God tells you to honor your father and your mother, to honor your mom and dad. But again, it needs to be connected to the heart. Because obeying doesn't mean that you're always honoring. You can't throw a fit and still honor. Because it needs to be in that heart. It needs to be that weight that gives to you a reverence and respect and esteem. And this constant railing and complaining and crying and arguing against it is not going to be honoring. Your boss can tell you what to do, and you may go ahead and do the task externally, but if you are going through that and dragging your feet and complaining about it, you have not honored. The key word here is not strictly obey, it's honor. We've said it 1,000 times already here. And obedience doesn't always equal honor. But since that's true, honoring does not equal obedience in every instance. Now I want to go forward in this section, in this part, very reverently. And do so very cautiously, especially since our current cultural and political climate can be very volatile. But the reality of the matter is, obeying doesn't mean, or I should say honor, doesn't mean that we are to give an unquestioning obedience to everything that is being said. Honoring ordinarily looks like obeying, but when we are required to obey, it is qualified. We are to obey insofar as it glorifies God, our sole authority. Now notice what Romans 13 says here. Of governing authorities, especially Romans 13, verse 3 and 4. The governing authorities, they are to act appropriately with respect to what is good and what is evil. And as ministers or representatives of God, this means that they are accountable to what God determines to be good or evil. Good and evil must be defined by His revealed will. They have been given authority, but not the authority to call evil to be good and to call good evil. And if they use that position in order to treat evil as if it is good and command you to do it as if it is good and to punish good as if it is evil, that is an abuse and an overstep of their authority. We are called to obey, we are called to submit and to honor. But very often the case happens, especially in our day, that when they command you to do something that is contrary to the will of God, it is better to obey God than man. And therefore, the best way that you can honor is through disobedience. Never misunderstand me in that. The best way you can honor is through disobedience, but you had better be right. You had better be right. They command you to do something and you can demonstrate from the Word of God that this is something that is explicitly against the Word of God, then you have the freedom in God because of Him as the supreme authority to not obey their authority but to obey God's authority because He is the ultimate authority. And there are places and times for us to take measures that our leaders may remain honorable and give to us honorable commands. Think, for example, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They disobeyed, but they still honored authority out of a respect for what that office of authority meant. This was a representation of the authority of God. Always have God in view. Just because then we have the liberty to obey God rather than man, and that there are instances where we are given and commands or have edicts and whatnot that tell us to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, this does not mean that we forfeit a posture of honor unto that person who is in that position of authority. We are still to honor them even though they give to us bad commands. It may come to the point where something needs to be done, but until it gets to that point, they are still in that position. And as I had said before, it is not the person there themselves, but it is the office that we are to honor. And so just because there are these things out there that command us to do things that are contrary to His will does not give us an excuse to sit there and slander them to our friends, to them on social media. That is not honoring. We honor them with our actions by obedience. We honor them with our hearts and our attitudes. We honor them with our words. There was a day in which the language that we spoke to and about our rulers reflected this, the essence of this commandment. I was talking with someone a while ago about how people used to call kings and princes your worship. They didn't mean anything heretical by that. It was simply a way to say you are worthy. Your worship. The things that they said and the things that they did reflected the respect and the honor that they had for worship. But the words that we use today seem to be more of a reflection of the worst child playground language and insults. I mean, if the things that we say about our governor and our president were said about us by our children, they would be grounded for a year. So honor them. Honor them with your words. It is not just the BLM rioters out there that are tearing apart the streets, that are rebels and defiant against authority. It's in every one of our hearts. And so honor authority, our words, with our actions. Christians should be the best citizens. And I realize that our time is going on, and this brings us to our third point, the blessing of authority, the blessing of honor that comes by authority. And we will have to be brief here then. But I do want to get to the emphasis of the point of that ultimate blessing. That ultimate blessing. And to do that, we first look at what the commandment says as far as that promise that is attached to the following of this honoring of the command. Now we see that this is the promise says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And this command, or this promise of blessing, is in many ways a very literal and physical blessing. Now, this is, like I mentioned before, where Israel is being established as a nation. God is covenanting with them. And this is the basis by which Israel is to order all of their society. And if they follow with this order, things will be maintained within society, and that they as a nation will be preserved, and they will perpetuate through the generations. But we even see in our day-to-day lives how the honoring of authority leads to a long life, physically speaking. On the one hand, those true rebels against authority, going against the civil government, is, well, that means a civil war, doesn't it? And if you are engaged in that, you certainly won't be living a long life. The chances are you won't be coming back from that. But also, if you are then one who is constantly breaking the law of God in rebellion against this authority, your life will be shortened because you'll face the death penalty. At least it was the case there. But yeah. Also, heed the advice and honor the authority by heeding the advice of your parents and your others, father and mother figures, of those who are of seniority. They will tell you the things that they have gone through, that this is what is good in life, and these are the things to stay away from. And if we honor them by listening, we'll have a long life. And so that is some of the physical blessing and promise. And Deuteronomy adds as well that it may be well with you. Which is to say, it will be peaceful. It will be good. And that really gets to the heart of the spiritual blessing and fulfillment, that which is ultimately what this commandment is about. And we've noticed from all of the psalms that we've been singing this evening have to do with Christ, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, who is that ultimate authority. As it is with all of these commands, it finds their fulfillment in Him. Those who honor truly this authority, internally and externally, through faith and repentance, will be blessed with long life, eternal life. They will be blessed in the land which the Lord your God is giving you, in the land of promise, which is before His throne, in His presence. And so the question must go to you this evening. You may find yourselves to be ones who are honoring authority in your life, honoring your parents and obeying them, and you can go through the rest of society and the rest of life going along pretty well. You're a good citizen, you pay your taxes. You haven't really got many speeding tickets. You've stayed out of trouble. You vote. You help little kittens come down from the tree. You do all of these good things. And you've submitted very well to the authorities that are around you. But have you submitted to the authority? Have you honored Him from the heart? sincere faith and sorrow over your rebellion against him? Have you honored him externally in sincere repentance from your rebellion? Because the counter is, if you haven't, it is the reverse of the promise. We could read Psalm 110 again and see what the fate is of those who continue to rebel and continue to dishonor authority. We could read Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. And so as we in our lives come to honor our father, our mother, as we come to honor our elders and pastors in the church, as we come to honor our governing civil authorities, let it be a reminder to us that we need to honor the Lord, the King of Kings, and to bow the knee and to bow the heart unto him. You must have him as your Lord. You must submit in honor to him as your authority. And if you have and if you do, then that promise is fulfilled. It will be well for you. That word well has to do with a sense of peace. Peace with God. Peace with the Father. Peace before his throne and everlasting life in his presence. And so honor him. Honor him as the authority. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your command over us. We ask then that we would be made willing subjects of your word and of your person, that we would bow the heart to you and submit to your word and follow in the way. We ask this for the glory of our King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.